So practice with the instrumental group tonight. Pastor?
Good evening. Good to see all of y'all here. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Trust you've had a good week in the Lord. We had a good turnout in the youth zone tonight. Let's start out in the book of John. Thank you very much, church, for your kindness and the fellowship we enjoyed Sunday night. It's a blessing to spend time with you, and the thoughtfulness that you presented was beyond measure. Thank you very much. Good to see all of you here. Brother Chase made it back safe last 4 o'clock today, so we'll be in prayer for him. We can work on that machine and get it working and ready for next week. Get some things accomplished over there in the print shop. Also tomorrow, him and I are going down to look at 2 pieces of printing material equipment that is offered by gift if we... at it tomorrow around noon. We'll see if it's worth bringing back up here. Tonight we're going to look at spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Another topic from the Bible that we have been looking at a couple of topics on Wednesday nights. So we're going to continue that thought with different topics for the next couple of Wednesdays, maybe into the summertime. Sister Jill, when is the actual presentation next month? The 16th, that's the... Okay, the third Wednesday of the month. So that means we got 3 more Wednesdays up to this time. Okay, all right. Ladies, don't forget the ladies' ladies' meeting that's coming up also. If you have not signed up or told my wife how many of you got coming, please do so. Spiritual blindness. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I've had the privilege of knowing 3 different blind preachers here. And we have one, Brother LeBeau comes, him and then his brother. I came and watched over the work in Greece while I was there. Then we had another blind evangelist that I met, and he came also to Greece. And I noticed something about blind folks. I'm assuming it may be about deaf folks as well, and I'm not positive on that. Maybe Miss Johnson could tell us. Her parents were both deaf. But when someone is missing a sense, yes, Marissa? Can I help? Yes, Marissa?
I'm not actually blind.
Is she? Wow, bless her heart. That must be difficult. Blind in one eye and deaf in one ear. So be in prayer for that as she gets around. But I noticed something about Brother LeBeau. His sense of hearing kind of increased. And his brother was the same way, that the sense of hearing, but his brother had more so of a sense of feel. He could almost feel you, you know, coming up close to him. I don't know, maybe he can hear you breathing, you know, or not. But I noticed that is particular about a physical sense. But I've also noticed that people lost people are definitely spiritually blind. That's a fact. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because God said it. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Lost people are spiritually blind, but I will say something here in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And the natural man, of course, would be a lost man, somebody that has not yet been born again. But I do believe that even after you are saved, born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not careful, you can return to that point of spiritual blindness. I believe that whole churches can. What do you mean? Well, go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17. Actually, back up to verse 14, so we know what we're talking about, a church here. So Revelation 3 and verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, beginning of the creation of God." Verse 15, "I know thy works, that thou neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." God says to the church of Laodicea here that as he spoke with them, that they had a blindness that come upon them, and they became spiritually blind. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about they went back into darkness and they're the nation of Israel, because of unbelief, has been blinded as a nation, as a whole, because of unbelief there. So the effects of it, look in Romans chapter 11. Flip back over there, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter number 11, and look at verse number 8, if you would. Romans chapter 11, verse number 8. Look at what it says. "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." That's talking about the nation of Israel there. And so because of unbelief, they were looking for the Messiah. And when the Messiah showed up, they didn't recognize him as a nation. Now, listen, there's Jewish people that still can come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior as an individual matter, but as a nation, because of the unbelief there, they can't see. Look over, if you would, over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Now, this verse is talking here about lost people. As you read it, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost," so those that have never been saved. We certainly don't know how the gospel, because that's the only thing that's going to make the difference. Verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world," we understand that that'd be Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe," what? "Not. Lest that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So unbelief. Before we got saved, according to Scripture, we were alienated against God. We were actually enemies of the cross and enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We was blinded to the fact that we needed salvation until we were brought to our attention by the convicting power of God, and the Holy Spirit began to work on us. The Scripture was shared with us, and we began to understand that, hey, we have transgressed God's law, and we were in need of a Savior. That if we were to die without Christ, we would spend eternity in hell. So there's those that are lost from the beginning, or they're spiritually blind, but then we saw there in Revelation that the whole church had come to a point that they didn't even realize they were blind and naked. They had returned to a... What does it mean to be spiritually blind? You're losing discernment. You're losing understanding of who you are, where you are, and who has bought us. I mean, this is how we get into a backslidden state, is because we have forgotten where we were headed. When we got saved, we were born again, and something has blinded us to the fact that God is our Father. Isaiah got that away. It was a good king that got him off track. You know, we've looked at that verse numerous of times as a church. And so you know the verse I'm talking about there in Isaiah chapter 6, that when King Uzziah died, all of a sudden his eyes was opened up. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes God's got to work in a mysterious way that He even allows sickness and things to come into people's lives to wake them up to the fact that, hey, I'm still here if you're my child. And if you're not, I'm here to save you and bring you into the family of God there. And I'm telling you something, dear friend. One way that you can know that you're in the middle of spiritual blindness as a child of God is that you have just an uncharitable spirit about you. Just an uncharitable spirit. Look over in, if you would, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I was reading something the other day in a little poem that was talking about our adversary, or the great prosecutor, which would be the devil himself. He's been at it a long, long time, an accuser of the brethren. That we need to be very careful that we don't try to be our own public offender, but we take him to our great advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. There, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Well, how do we know that we're saved? We know that we've passed from death and life because we love the brethren. But you know as well as I do, and if you stay around Christians long enough, strife and contention can come up, and before you know it, there's hatred even inside the house of God. And so, as you read this, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now you get to a point where there's no love of God for each other. And you see. Litmus test for us to be checked is, how are we with the brethren? If a certain brother or sister comes around us into the family of God in a meeting, do we do like some folks? You know, have you ever seen these new bullying videos that got out where a kid comes up there and either they don't let them sit or they just take their stuff and walk away? That happens in the house of God, don't it? Well, I ain't going to their Sunday school class. I'm sitting at their table at fellowship. Be chairs around that particular family, that particular person. I'm telling you, dear friends, be careful. Be very careful. If you've got in your heart that you don't want to sit by a brother or sister in Christ, that is proof that you are, according to this, verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And I'm telling you, it's a work of the devil. You remember over 2 Corinthians 4:4? The God of this world. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you find yourself where you are not even want to be around God's people or another brother or sister in Christ, that's a work of the devil. That's not a work of God. We need to find a place for repentance. The Bible even says if you come to the altar and you've got ought against your brother got ought against you, leave what you got and go back and get that thing right. If you find an uncharitable spirit about you, there's no love for God's people. Be very careful. Be very careful. That spiritual blindness will be sneaking up in there and the devil's at work. And I'm to be honest with you, the devil's always at work. He's not on our side. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Look over in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stop up around verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, or because of all this other stuff, putting away, because you've done put on the new man, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That spiritual blindness, my dear friend, you just start giving place. You open up a door here and you open up a little thing there. I saw a tremendous quote the other day, and I don't remember the guy's name that did it, said it, but it says, working to get to heaven in your own power is like trying to climb to the moon with a sand rope. I'll tell you something, dear friend, to live in today's society and life around us and all the things that are here, to try to live in the flesh is futile. I mean, it's just, it's you can't do it. At no time could you have done it, but especially this day and age which we live upon. Well, don't give place to the devil. It's spiritual blindness will creep in. Look back over in 1 John. Back over in 1 John chapter 1. Spiritual blindness, dear friend, is it's inconsistent with a good, godly Christian walk. Look over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and listen to what it says, and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. You can't enjoy fellowship with God, and your understanding and your discernment is off, and your fellowship and with and walking in the darkness of this world, it's not consistent. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, what did it say? One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. So walking around in spiritual darkness and blindness and fellowshipping with the things of this world is an inconsistency in the Christian walk. Doesn't go together. It's like you was to get a bobcat or a lynx and put a yoke on it and get you a coyote and put a yoke on him and use them things as sled dogs. It don't go together. It wouldn't work. Neither does walking in the darkness and saying, I'm fellowshipping with God. That doesn't go together. It doesn't happen. You're spiritually blind. And I'm telling you, it's fatal to yourself, to others around you. Look over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. You'll notice there in verse 1, it says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Wow, what a question. Verse 4, For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift by whatsoever ye mightest be profited by me. Verse 6, And honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 7, Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples, said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's where spiritual blindness leads you. And it's not only fatal to you, it's fatal to those that are walking, following, and you are leading through there. So be very careful that you keep your eyes open, that your eye be single, that the light of God be shining in and coming in. And be very careful that you don't walk around in your self-righteousness. If you find yourself walking around in self-righteousness, dear friend, you are spiritually blind, because our self-righteousness did us nothing good before we were saved. It's not going to do anything for us after we're saved. We need the righteousness of Christ imputed in us. Look over in Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verse number 19. Matthew chapter 23. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! You pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye have clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Though blind Pharisees cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquities. Why? Because they were walking around blind, not discerning and not following the whole scripture. The traditions that they held were over and above that which was the commandments of God. And then they would say, this is more important than that's more important. And Jesus said, hey, that is important, but you shouldn't leave this undone. And that's where spiritual blindness leads us, to a point where we pick and choose what is important to us, and the rest of it, we don't get around to it. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. We become spiritually blinded and willfully guilty of so. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Become willfully guilty. Romans chapter 1. This Romans chapter 1 is a very strong chapter in the Bible. It takes a strong stand upon the perverseness of the flesh and the walk contrary of a man with a man and a woman with a woman. That is not right. But listen what it says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Listen to what it says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that, listen to what it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. At some point in time, this people that we read on about, and you keep studying on down, to a point of darkness that God said they turned over to a reprobate mind. Started out that they knew right, they knew God, they knew of God, they were without excuse, but yet kept on going into spiritual darkness. Willfully guilty. Willfully guilty. We need to pray that God would remove the spiritual darkness from us. Look over in Psalms chapter 119. Back over in Psalms chapter 119. Listen to what the psalmist said here. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. What's he saying? Help me to see spiritually, help my understanding. Open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. We need to be praying, Lord, help me that I see spiritually through the lenses of the Word of God that is amplified exalted and written before me, that I might have a good understanding so that my heart be not deceived in my own emotions and my own desires, my own self-righteous, my own fleshly desires, Lord. Help me that I might allow you to remove the darkness. Look over in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 18. Luke 4 and 18. Listen to what it says. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what God's, the whole purpose of the Lord coming was to preach, that people might be able to see in the darkness that they walk around in. And I think you can all agree, we're living in a dark, dark time right now. An evil man shall wax worse and worse. And we need to be very careful that we, as God's people, do not allow ourselves to be led off into the spiritual darkness and ask God to remove it, to open our eyes, that we might be able to see. Let's look at one more verse and we'll be done. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and we're done. Last verse. Colossians chapter 1. Get these kids back on the bus so they can get a good night's sleep. It'd be good for their teachers tomorrow. They might learn, be educated, be used of God, be able to learn to read, might be able to read their Bible through as they grow older. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 13. It says here, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, we have been delivered. I remember following the scripture that says they didn't like the light because their deeds was evil. I remember those days, Brother Paul, walking around, and you know, I didn't want any message, I didn't want any Bible, I didn't want nothing to be telling me what I was doing was wrong. And then I got saved, and I began to soak up the Word of God. Then there was a few times in my life that I kind of decided I was going to throw God a curveball. It wasn't me getting the curveball, I was hoodwinking myself, not God. I didn't fool God. He didn't swing at it. He didn't say it was acceptable. He said, you sow into the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. And walk around a little bit in the darkness and bang my head here, bang my head there. Well, I'm so glad that there were those times where the mercies of God, when I deserved judgment, grace and mercy met me and said, hey, buddy, you got to straighten up. You're my child and you're doing wrong. Do right. And well, I'm so thankful that God does not, I don't have to rely upon my own light. I can rely upon His light. Ask God to open your eyes. Find yourself in this here fix, in this area. Don't be thinking that, oh, it ain't going to happen to me. It can happen to any of us. than any of us. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Lord, for the good time we had in the youth zone, for the prayer time our church had here, interceding on behalf of those that are sick, ill, and hurting. Even some that's lost loved ones, we're praying for the families. God, it's been good to be in your house this Wednesday night. Lord, we could have been doing a whole lot of things, many things we could have done at home, but we have chosen the good part, to come away from the world, to come in fellowship, find strength in the middle of the week, that we might serve you well tomorrow. Bring us back to our appointed time and place, Lord. Help us to be the light of this world, a city set upon a hill. Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Kids, come on quickly over to the bus, over to the door. I'll get you candy on the bus. Wait by the door. See all of y'all here. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Trust you've had a good week in the Lord. We had a good turnout in the youth zone tonight. Let's start out in the book of John. Thank you very much, church, for your kindness and the fellowship we enjoyed Sunday night. It's a blessing to spend time with you, and the thoughtfulness that you presented was beyond measure. Thank you very much. Good to see all of you here. Brother Chase made it back safe last 4 o'clock today. So we'll be in prayer for him. We can work on that machine and get it working and ready for next week. Get some things accomplished over there in the print shop. Also tomorrow, him and I are going down to look at two pieces of printing material equipment that is offered by gift if we go look at it tomorrow around noon. We'll see if it's worth bringing back up here. Tonight we're going to look at spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Another topic from the Bible that we have been looking at a couple of topics on Wednesday nights. So we're going to continue that that thought with different topics for the next couple of Wednesdays, maybe into the summertime. Sister Jill, when is the actual presentation next month? The 16th, that's the... Okay, the third Wednesday of the month. So that means we got three more Wednesdays up to this time. Okay. All right. Ladies, don't forget the ladies' ladies' meeting that's coming up also. If you have not signed up or told my wife how many you got coming, please do so. Spiritual blindness. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I've had the privilege of knowing three different blind preachers here, and we have one, Brother LeBeau comes, him and then his brother came and watched over the work in Greece while I was there. And then we had another blind evangelist that I met, and he came also to Greece. And I noticed something about blind folks. I'm assuming it may be about deaf folks as well, and I'm not positive on that. Maybe Miss Johnson could tell us. Her parents were both deaf. But when someone is missing a sense, yes, Marissa? Can I help? Yes, Marissa?
I'm not actually blind, I'm not
deaf. Is she? Wow, bless her heart. That must be difficult. Blind in one eye and deaf in one ear. So be in prayer for that as she gets around. But I noticed something about Brother LeBeau. His sense of hearing kind of increased. And his brother was the same way, that the sense of hearing, but his brother had more so of a sense of feel. He could almost feel you, you know, coming up close to him. I don't know, maybe he could hear you breathing, you know, or not. But I noticed that is particular about a physical sense. But I've also noticed that people lost people are definitely spiritually blind. That's a fact. How do you know that, Pastor? Because God said it. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Lost people are spiritually blind, but I will say something here in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2, 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the natural man, of course, would be a lost man, somebody that has not yet been born again. But I do believe that even after you are saved, born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not careful, you can return to that point of spiritual blindness. I believe that whole churches can. What do you mean? Well, go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17. Actually, back up to verse 14, so we know what we're talking about, a church here. So Revelation 3 and verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. God says to the church of Laodicea here that as he spoke to them, that they had a blindness that come upon them, and they became spiritually blind. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about they went back into darkness and there's the nation of Israel, because of unbelief, has been blinded as a nation, as a whole, because of unbelief there. So the effects of it, look in Romans chapter 11. Flip back over there, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter number 11 And look at verse number 8, if you would. Romans chapter 11, verse number 8. Look at what it says. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. That's talking about the nation of Israel there. And so because of unbelief, they were looking for the Messiah. And when the Messiah showed up, they didn't recognize it as a nation. Now listen, there's still Jewish people that still can come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. As an individual matter, but as a nation, because of the unbelief there, they can't see. Look over, if you would, over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Now this verse is talking here about lost people. As you read it, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, so those that have never been saved. And we certainly don't know how the gospel, because that's the only thing that's going to make the difference. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, we understand that that'd be Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe what? Not. Lest that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So unbelief. Before we got saved, according to Scripture, we were alienated against God. We were actually enemies of the cross and enemies of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We was blinded to the fact that we needed salvation until we were brought to our attention by the convicting power of God, and the Holy Spirit began to work on us. The Scripture was shared with us, and we began to understand that, hey, we have transgressed God's law, and we were in need of a Savior. That if we were to die without Christ, we would spend eternity in hell. So there's those that are lost. From the beginning, they're spiritually blind, but then we saw there in Revelation that the whole church had come to a point that they didn't even realize they were blind and naked. They had returned to what does it mean to be spiritually blind? You're losing discernment. You're losing understanding of who you are, where you are, and who has bought us. I mean, this is how we get into a backslidden state, is because we have forgotten where we were headed when we got saved. We were born again, and something has blinded us to the fact that God is our Father. Isaiah got that away. It was a good king that got him off track. You know, we've looked at that verse numerous of times as a church. And so you know the verse I'm talking about there in Isaiah chapter 6, that when King Uzziah died, all of a sudden his eyes was opened up. Sometimes it's a relationship. Sometimes God's got to work in a mysterious way that he even allows sickness and things to come into people's lives to wake them up to the fact that, hey, I'm still here if you're my child, and if you're not, I'm here to save you and bring you into the family of God there. And I'm telling you something, dear friend, one way that you can know that you're in the middle of spiritual blindness as a child of God is that you have just an uncharitable spirit about you. Just an uncharitable spirit. Look over in, if you would, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I was reading something the other day, a little poem that was talking about our adversary, or the great prosecutor, which would be the devil himself. He's been at it a long, long time, an accuser of the brethren. That we need to be very careful that we don't try to be our own public offender, but we take him to our great advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. There, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Well, how do we know that we're saved? We know that we've passed from death and life because we love the brethren. But you know as well as I do, if you stay around Christians long enough, strife and contention can come up, and before you know it, there's hatred even inside the house of God. And so, as you read this, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So you get to a point where there's no love of God for each other. And you see. Litmus test for us to be checked is, how are we with the brethren? If a certain brother or sister comes around us into the family of God in a meeting, do we do like some folks? You know, have you ever seen these new bullying videos that got out where a kid comes up there and either they don't let them sit or they just take their stuff and walk away? That happens in the house of God, don't it? Wow, I ain't going to their Sunday school class. I'm sitting at their table at fellowship. Be chairs around that particular family, that particular person. I'm telling you, friend, be careful. Be very careful. If you've got in your heart that you don't want to sit by a brother or sister in Christ, that is proof that you are, according to this, verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And I'm telling you, it's a work of the devil. You remember over 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world? We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you find yourself where you are not even going to be around God's people or another brother or sister in Christ, that's a work of the devil. That's not a work of God. We need to find a place for repentance. The Bible even says if you come to the altar and you've got aught against your brother got aught against you, leave what you got and go back and get that thing right. If you find an uncharitable spirit about you, there's no love for God's people. Be very careful. Be very careful. That spiritual blindness will be sneaking up in there, and the devil's at work. And I'm to be honest with you, the devil's always at work. He's not on our side. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Look over in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stop up around verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, or because of all this other stuff, putting away, because you've done put on the new man, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That spiritual mind is no different. You just start giving place. You open up a door here and you open up a little thing there. I saw a tremendous quote the other day, and I don't remember the guy's name that did it, said it, but it says, working to get to heaven in your own power is like trying to climb to the moon with a sand rope. I'll tell you something, dear friend, to live in today's society and life around us and all the things that are here, to try to live in the flesh is futile. I mean, it's just, it's you can't do it. At no time could you have done it, but especially this day and age which we live upon. Well, don't give place to the devil. It's spiritual blindness will creep in. Look back over in 1 John. Back over in 1 John chapter 1. Spiritual blindness, dear friend, it's inconsistent with a good godly Christian walk. Look over in 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and this is what it says, and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. You can't enjoy fellowship with God and your understanding and your discernment is off, and your fellowship and walking in the darkness of this world. It's not consistent. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, what did it say? One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. So walking around in spiritual darkness and blindness and fellowshipping with the things of this world is an inconsistency in the Christian walk. Doesn't go together. It's like you was to get a bobcat or a lynx and put a yoke on it and get you a coyote and put a yoke on him and use them things as sled dogs. It don't go together. It wouldn't work. Neither does walking in the darkness and saying, I'm fellowshipping with God. That doesn't go together. It doesn't happen. You're spiritually blind. And I'm telling you, it's fatal to yourself, to others around you. Look over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. You'll notice there in verse 1, it says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Wow, what a question. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever ye mightest be profited by me. Verse 6, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's where spiritual blindness leads you. And it's not only fatal to you, it's fatal to those that are walking, following, and you are leading through there. So be very careful that you keep your eyes open, that your eye be single, that the light of God be shining in and coming in. And be very careful that you don't walk around in your self-righteousness. If you find yourself walking around in self-righteousness, dear friend, you are spiritually blind, because our self-righteousness did us nothing good before we were saved. It's not going to do anything for us after we're saved. We need the righteousness of Christ imputed in us. Look over in Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verse number 19. Matthew chapter 23. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! You pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye have cleaned the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Though blind Pharisees cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquities. Why? Because they were walking around blind, not discerning and not following the whole scripture. The traditions that they held were over and above that which was the commandments of God. And then they would say, this is more important than that's more important. And Jesus said, hey, that is important, but you shouldn't leave this undone. And that's where spiritual blindness leads us, to a point where we pick and choose what is important to us, and the rest of it, we don't get around to it. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's not okay. We become spiritually blinded and willfully guilty of so. Look over in Romans chapter 1. Become willfully guilty. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a very strong chapter in the Bible. It takes a strong stand upon the perverseness of the flesh and the walk contrary of a man with a man and a woman with a woman. That is not right. But listen what it says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Listen what it says. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that, listen what it says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. So at some point in time, this people that we read on about, and you keep studying on down, to a point of darkness that God said they turned over to a reprobate mind. Started out that they knew right, they knew God, they knew of God, they were without excuse, but yet kept on going into spiritual darkness. Willfully guilty. Willfully guilty. We need to pray that God would remove the spiritual darkness from us. Look over in Psalms chapter 119. Back over in Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, verse 18. Listen what the psalmist said here. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. What's he saying? Help me to see spiritually, help my understanding. Open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. We need to be praying, Lord, help me that I see spiritually through the lenses of the Word of God that is amplified exalted and written before me, that I might have a good understanding so that my heart be not deceived in my own emotions and my own desires, my own self-righteous, my own fleshly desires. Lord, help me that I might allow You to remove the darkness. Look over in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 18. Luke 4 and 18. Listen to what it says. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what God's, the whole purpose of the Lord coming was to preach, that people might be able to see in the darkness that they walked around in. And I think you can all agree, we're living in a dark, dark time right now. An evil man shall wax worse and worse. And we need to be very careful that we, as God's people, do not allow ourselves to be led off into this spiritual darkness and ask God to remove it, to open our eyes, that we might be able to see. Let's look at one more verse and we'll be done. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and we're done. Last verse. Colossians chapter 1. get these kids back on the bus so they can get a good night's sleep, be good for their teachers tomorrow. They might learn, be educated, be used of God, be able to learn to read, might be able to read their Bible through as they grow older. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 13. It says here, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." I tell you, we have been delivered. I remember following the scripture that says they didn't like the light because their deeds was evil. I remember those days, Brother Paul, walking around, and you know, I didn't want any message, I didn't want any Bible, I didn't want nothing to be telling me what I was doing was wrong. And then I got saved, and I began to soak up the Word of God. Then there was a few times in my life that I kind of decided I was going to throw God a curveball. It wasn't me getting the curveball. I was hoodwinking myself, not God. I didn't fool God. He didn't swing at it. He didn't say it was acceptable. He said, "You sow into the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh." And walk around a little bit in the darkness and bang my head here, bang my head there. Well, I'm so glad that there were those times where the mercies of God, when I deserved judgment, grace and mercy met me and said, "Hey, buddy, you got to straighten up. You're my child, and you're doing wrong. Do right." And well, I'm so thankful that God does not... I don't have to rely upon my own light. I can rely upon His light. Ask God to open your eyes. Find yourself in this here fix, in this area. Don't be thinking that, "Oh, it ain't going to happen to me." It can happen to any of us. Any of us. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Lord, for the good time we had in the youth zone. For the prayer time our church had here. Interceding on behalf of those that are sick, ill, and hurting. Even some that's lost loved ones. We're praying for the families. God, it's been good to be in your house this Wednesday night. Well, we could have been doing a whole lot of things. Many things we could have done at home. But we have chosen the good part. To come away from the world. To come in fellowship. Find strength in the middle of the week. That we might serve you well tomorrow. Bring us back to our appointed time and place, Lord. Help us to be the light of this world. A city set upon a hill. Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed, kids. Come on quickly over to the bus, over to the door. I'll get your candy on the bus. Wait by the door.